This is the second half of the unintended legacy. What kind of a mother do you think she is? Tell the truth, the way you told it to Joey and me the other night. Celeste turned to her sister. Yeah, Tina. Tell it to me the way you told it to them. Tina pushed back from the table. She was looking down at the floor. I'm not getting involved in this. Come on, Joey. Get the baby. We're leaving before this gets out of hand. Sit back down and finish your dinner, ordered Mario. He was standing. His face and neck were red, his voice shaking with frustration. We finally got some decent meat on this table again, and I'm not going to watch it go to waste. Tina wasn't finished yet. Why should we? Do you think they really want us here? She looked at Ron. Aren't you just waiting for us to leave so you can go back to your basement? I don't care much either way, said Ron. Tina stood up. That's it. This is the last time that I'm coming here without being wanted. It's too painful. This was my mother's house. Sunday dinner was happy memories for me. I'm not going to destroy them with scenes like this. This time, Joey got up too. They were gathered up and out the door quickly. They left Celeste on the front porch crying for them to come back. Mario watched Joey, fully reconditioned 69 Corvette, pull away. He turned to Ron with anger and disgust. Did you get what you wanted? My daughter just ran out of my house on a Sunday because you don't want her here. That's bullshit, said Ron. She left because she never wants to face the messes she makes. Mario shook and began to scream. Don't you ever do such a thing like that again, or I swear to Jesus, I'll pop you in the mouth. You're not making a whole lot of sense, said Ron. Well, let's see if you understand this. This is my house. While you're under my roof, you'll do things my way. Ron didn't answer. My way, screamed Mario. Then he turned on Celeste. And that goes for you, too. I want you to call your sister and apologize to her. That's ridiculous, said Celeste. I'm not going to do any such thing. Didn't you hear what I just said? Do you want to push me? He was walking back and forth, swinging his arms. Is that what you thought you would do when you came back here? Push me around? Now it was Ron's turn to shout. We moved back here because you asked us to help you. We moved in here because you said there was no way for you to hold on to your house. Maybe that's the line she gave you, said Mario. I was just as content to move into a furnished room. Ron's mouth dropped open. He had sat there when Mario had made the request. The old man punched himself on the chest. Mario Brego doesn't need anybody, he shouted. The image struck Ron comically. It was something he'd read about people who called themselves out loud by their own names, but he had never actually seen it. Mario saw the snicker. Young man, you may think this is funny. You'll be laughing out of the other side of your face if I belt you. I'm not laughing at you, lied Ron. I'm laughing about how you could stand there and say just the opposite of what you said when you asked me to move in here. Then get out, said Mario. We just moved in, said Ron. Things have to be the way they have to be. Angel had been listening to the argument from the living room. First, she was considering tuning the TV up loud enough to hear it over their shouting. She decided against that when she remembered how the argument had started. But when Ron began to laugh, she honestly thought it was all over. If she had been able to see their faces, she would have known that it wasn't. The last interchange started tears rolling down her eyes. She ran into the dining room crying, Papa, don't make me go away. Mario was shocked. Ron stood there silently. I would never make you go anywhere, Angel. Then don't take Mommy or Ron go away, because I have to go with them. Nobody's going anywhere, baby. We're just talking about something else. Angel looked into his eyes. She wondered why her papa had gotten so mad. Aunt Tina left in a hurry all the time. She wondered if it was what she'd done. She knew that she was being bad when she was cruel to Joey Boy, but he got her so mad. She wanted her Nana. Her Nana would understand what she was supposed to do now. She began to cry. Then it seemed like a huge wave that came along and picked her up. It was like a thunderstorm. The crying was accented with sobs that broke out of her chest. She wasn't thinking about anything now. There was nothing but the crying. Several hours later, everyone was worried. Mario had actually gotten down on his hands and knees and begged her to stop. She was trembling badly, and the tears seemed to have no end. For a while, Celeste cried with her, but she couldn't keep up. Angel cried late into the night, holding her mother and saying, "Mommy, I want to stop, but I just can't." She cried for at least another hour after they told her no one was moving. Just before she fell asleep, she thought she heard her Nana say, "Just forget about all this, honey." The next day, she told them she didn't remember anything about the night before. Mario stayed by himself even more after that. He either ate his meals out or at Tina and Joey's. He visited his relatives in Connecticut. On New Year's Eve, he announced that he was going to Italy in June. "I'll have your mother on my shoulder," he told Tina and Celeste. They cried and held his hands and said, "Mommy would want you to go." Quietly, in the middle of February, on a Saturday night, Mario went out on a date, sponsored by his cousin and Gerard and his wife. The girl was somebody that Gerard's wife worked with. Her name was Anne. At first, Mario refused the date, but Gerard brought it up again and again and told him that Anne was perfect for him. Gerard said that he was still a young man and that he shouldn't have to hold his joint in his hand for the rest of his life. The image of looking like an old man with a dick in his hand scared Mario. He agreed to go out on the date. He didn't want to look like that to the world. Her having the same name as his late wife bothered Mario, but Gerard pointed out that there were advantages. There would be no danger of slipping and calling his date by the wrong name. It wasn't her fault that she had the same name, and Mario shouldn't hold it against her either. The four of them went out for dinner. It was an Italian place that Gerard said was as close to the food in Italy as anything that was available in this country. They met at Gerard's house. He was very nervous. His daughters had seemed to know something was up. They kept asking him where he was going. Mario ordered linguine and sausage. Anne said she would have the same thing. After dinner, she asked him to pick out a dessert for her. He was in his glory. His late wife had never let him do things like that for her. It made him feel strong. He was quite solicitous about whether or not she enjoyed the food. Gerard and his wife were good company. They talked like young people. They were all quite a bit younger than Mario. It made him feel rejuvenated. He told them about his trip to Italy. He drank whiskey sours and never felt tired once that night. She took his arm when they left the restaurant. He flexed his muscle to show her his bicep. They didn't kiss each other that night. Mario wasn't comfortable enough to make that leap. There was a loyalty of 37 years to another woman in his body. That wasn't dead, even if she was. Mario felt good on his ride home. He was a little frightened by how much he'd had to drink. He decided to take the long way home through the back streets of Patterson. Unconsciously, he drove to the old neighborhood, down the street where he and Anne had lived when they were first married. Mario gasped. This was where Celeste had come home from the hospital. It was run down now. Only one or two of the houses were still in the old families. The silk mills had closed when the blacks moved in and got what was left. They hadn't been able to stop it from getting shitty, and of course they got the blame. It was like driving a direction in time. But then he stopped reminiscing. The house that had belonged to his parents wasn't far away. He drove there and stopped the car. He looked around in the dark, and then he smiled to himself. None of this was real anymore. Anne wasn't real anymore. He had to move on. Maybe he would marry this new one. Now, Mario had always taken the position with his daughters that any woman who slept with a man that she wasn't married to was a whore. It was, according to Mario, a man's duty to get as much as he could whenever it was possible. It was a woman's obligation to say no until they were married. When he and Anne decided to spend their first weekend together, he lied. That Tina and Celeste knew about his new love at all was an accident, a slip of his son-in-law Joey's tongue. Tina confronted her father about it and screamed that she hoped that her mother wasn't able to see what was going on before she was hardly cold. Mario retorted, "What do you expect me to do? Stay by myself for the rest of my life? Be treated like a child by your sister for wanting to be myself in my own home?" Tina called Celeste and screamed that she had driven their father away from both of them now, and she hoped that she was happy with herself. Celeste said, "You're being crazy. You're letting Daddy manipulate you into being angry at me for something he's done. You've got a lot of nerve lecturing me about being manipulated. You're the one he's got living there." Celeste flushed. She was angry. "Have him come and live with you, so you're not concerned about me driving him away. Or better still, why don't you sell your house and pick up your family and move over here?" "You couldn't wait to get back in there," said Tina. "You decided to move in back in there the minute that you heard Mommy was sick." "I felt she needed me, Tina." "I know that," said Tina. "But you and Ron decided to move in there after Mommy died. And now I have to pay for it? You've taken his home away, and I get him for dinner every night? All I hear about is how weird and unsociable Ron is, and how unhappy Angel is, and how distant and unapproachable you are. What do you expect me to do?" "I don't expect you to take it out on me. You don't know what we're going through here. On top of everything else, Daddy is always acting like an asshole in order to show Ron that he's in charge. Ron feels screwed." "Daddy's got a girlfriend," said Tina. "A what?" "He's seeing somebody. He slipped and told Joey about being out with Gerard and his wife." "That bastard," said Celeste. "He didn't slip. He used your husband as a messenger boy so that he wouldn't have to face us." "This is all because of the way you've screwed things up over there," said Tina. Celeste slammed the phone against the wall. She walked into the living room where Mario was watching TV. "Tina just told me about your going out with someone. I don't feel like pretending not to know about it, but I want to tell you that I feel really crummy that she was the one to tell me, and not you." Mario flicked off the remote and sat up. "I should have told you, but I just didn't want to tell anybody. It seemed too soon. But I wanted to do it. It was no big deal, really. Are you going to see her again? I don't know. I think so. What's her name? Marrier told her. Celeste was able to stay silently under control until she got upstairs. She shoved a pillow into her mouth and punched the mattress violently. Ron lay there astonished. She told him about Mario's girlfriend, Anne. Ron didn't say anything. And so, Mario lied about where he was going for the weekend. They slept together that Saturday night. They had quite a bit to drink. Anne said that she felt nervous about being in bed with him. Mario proposed. Anne said she would have to think about it. And then they had sex. All spring, Celeste was peeking out the window of the kitchen, trying to catch the first bloom on the cherry tree. The first day that she saw them, she sat in her mother's chair and cried. She was cooking dinner. Mario was bringing Anne home to meet his daughters. He had already introduced her to Joey. His son-in-law had kept the secret. He knew better. She was a woman in her early 50s. She looked maternal. As she sat in the dining room, Celeste told herself that she shouldn't hate this woman. She should try to be nice. Tina's pleasantries, on the other hand, were laced with undertones of hostility. Anne steered clear of Tina. The woman wore a print dress with a black cloth belt. She spoke softly. She stared, starry-eyed, at Mario. Even Angel was trying to act nicely for the sake of Papa's new friend. But she was nervous, and when Joey Boy kicked her from under the table, she let out a howl and threw a fork at him. As usual, her aim was good. The boy had ducked when he saw her wind up, but the fork hit him in the ear and cut the bottom of his lobe. Joey Boy was bleeding. Celeste and Tina jumped up to tend the frightened boy. Mario hollered, "What did you do that for?" Angel screamed that she was sorry and that everybody was always blaming her for everything. She ran out of the room crying. Mario apologized to Anne, who said that there was no problem. She'd had enough experience with her own grandchildren to know that these things happen all the time. Tina and Celeste stopped long enough to exchange a look that said neither of them knew about the grandchildren. After they got Joey Boy's bleeding to stop and settled him, they had coffee. Mario said, "I have something to tell you. I only met this lady a short time ago, but I feel like I've known her forever." Both girls winced. Mario didn't seem to notice. Anne stared, starry-eyed, at Mario. Joey had his head down. Ron was watching all of them. "We've got a deep and a warm feeling for each other, and we hope that you respect that. The thing is, I've asked Anne to go to Italy with me this summer, and we're going to get married there, in my father's hometown. We've asked my sister and brother-in-law to stand for us, and they've agreed. When we come back, we'll be living here." He turned his eyes to his new son-in-law. "I hope you don't mind the short notice. Of course, if you have trouble finding something, we can all fit in for a little while." Tina buried her face in her hands and began to cry. Celeste stared at the wall in front of her. Joey never looked up. Angel had fallen asleep in her room upstairs. Anne stared at Mario as he hugged Tina. Mario and Anne left for Italy on the 1st of June. Tina had begun to accept them both by now. The problem was Celeste. She wouldn't talk to anyone about it. All Tina really knew was that they had an apartment that they were going to be moving into on the 10th. The day after they moved their things out, Celeste went back home for a visit. After her mother had died, she had always began to feel her presence there. She could feel it in every room. "I've got to help you get out of here, Ma," she said, and went into the basement. She piled up some oil rags next to some old carpets that her father wouldn't throw away, and set them on fire. Then she left, very calmly.